It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. We're back on a Thursday. Couldn't be happier. My Seahawks up on the TV screen. A little sad because he just gave up a touchdown, but it's 7-7 right now in that first quarter in that NFL matchup. Scott Mitchell, of course, on the other side of everything here, as he always is. Scott, thanks for being with me this evening, buddy.
You're welcome. Always good to be here, Alex.
We're going
to
kick off the show as we always do. It's a 7:05 cut and top billing again this week. Bill Riley, the voice of the Utes, right here with us at 7:05.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Bill Riley, as you join us here, the last 2 weeks we've had you on, it's been a Friday of bad news early afternoon. And I think that this week feels so much different. There was always like a teetering on the edge the last couple of weeks. This one feels like it's something that we're getting a little bit closer. Unless USC's got problems, Utah's in a good spot right now, are they not?
I feel like I'm Phil Connors waking up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Every single time I come on with you, needle-nose Ned Ryerson, I feel like I'm going to wake up today and tomorrow, and it's going to be different. And maybe, just maybe, Andy McDowell and not Scott Mitchell
will join
me in the booth on Saturday night.
What's wrong with me?
Well, look, hey, nothing, but Andy McDowell is Andy McDowell.
You know Andy McDowell, that's what's wrong with you.
That's true, and I don't want to be Andy McDowell either. But what I do, what do you think? I mean, we've had all these expectations. We've had all these pregame, you know, predictions about everything with like Arizona and then UCLA, and it didn't happen. It's almost like, what do you expect from this game where Utah hasn't played a game yet this year and they're playing USC in their opener?
I expect a lot of energy. I expect a lot of enthusiasm, and I expect some sloppy play because it's the first game. I think the offense will be ahead of the defense, but I think you're going to see pretty good energy. I mean, these guys have had to wait for so long, and they've had to sit the last two weekends and watch USC and Oregon and Cal and ASU, everybody play. So I think the energy and the enthusiasm will be good. I think the play will probably be a little sloppy just because it's a first game and you're getting up to game speed, maybe for a little while. But I think it'll be a good game. I really do. I think especially both offenses will be pretty well dialed in.
There's been such talk about how thin they were last week in terms of numbers. How close they were obviously was made evident when they had one positive test on Friday, and then that was below the threshold. So now when they're filling in, I think, a little bit more, the thought is that they're not as close as they were last week, and that they could be almost to, quote-unquote, you know, kind of a full roster, at least of guys who are mostly starters. So how do you prep then after having prepped for these other teams? How do you sit down and go, okay, because you were supposed to have two games to get ready for the toughest team in the Pac-12 South Division, and now you're coming in and it's game one against these guys.
You just do it. I mean, you just approach it like another game week. I mean, you don't have those two games to knock the rust off before you face the Trojans. But the good news is, as you said, Alex, and I can confirm this because I've talked to coaches and the AD today, they're back to nearly 100% of their starters. There's still a few guys that are dealing with a few things, but it's not like it was a week or two ago where we were talking about scout team and, right, you know, walk-ons and things like that. They're back to having nearly a full complement of everybody they need. So, but they're, you know, it's USC, man. You just buckle up the chin strap and you say, okay, this is our first game and we're going to do what we can here. But that's just the cards you've been dealt. It's 2020. Do what you got to do.
What is a realistic expectation with the season? I mean, losing those first two games, and right now, I mean, the most games Utah can play is five under the, you know, whatever schedule they have right now. Is there a possibility of making up any of those games down the road, or does the expectation change now just because you're only going to play five games?
Well, I mean, they're still eligible for the Pac-12 title, Scott. I mean, if they go 4-0 over the next four games, they'll play in the Pac-12 championship game. I mean, that's what the goal was, I think, when they began training a month or two ago, was to win the Pac-12 South for a third straight time and get to a Pac-12 championship game. So if they beat SC, ASU, Colorado, and Oregon State, or whichever teams they happen to play, and they go 4-0, I think the goal is still, as long as that remains an option, I think the goal's out there to win the Pac-12 South. I guess we'll find out or get an idea on Saturday night how realistic
that
seem
is. Just strange,
I mean, we don't
though.
Know right now.
It just seems so strange to me. It just seems strange to me. It's like, yeah, the four, you know, they won four games. I don't know. It's almost like now you can have your Pac-12 championship this year.
Scott, it's 2020.
It just seems so strange.
Yeah. So, Bills.
You mean if they're going to play for it, Scott, you'd rather just let somebody else win it and not try and compete for it?
I would just complain, and I would say it was strange, but I'd still go.
He'd still show up, yeah.
Yeah.
So, my question
is – it still counts.
My question is, with the president's deciding that they would adjust the – possibility of non-conference schedule games to go in and fill in the place of games that might be canceled from week to week. One, how does the Pac-12 handle that? Because they've been the most rigorous when it comes to the testing side of things. And two, what does that mean? Like, are they looking for adding as many games as they can to get into the college football playoff, or is this just trying to stay in that conversation week after week and having as many games as a Pac-12 conference as possible?
I think it's just about letting teams play games, Alex. I mean, the playoff's going to happen if somebody goes – I mean, I still think it's a remote possibility, but if somebody goes undefeated and has a good record, I think that's a possibility. But I think allowing the possibility of a non-conference game – and you guys saw the release. I mean, the thresholds to get there, I mean, those are three pretty big hurdles.
Yeah.
I mean, not only does the team you're playing have to do the testing thresholds – And then you've got to be able to get all the logistics stood up, and then you've got to hope that another Pac-12 game isn't canceled
right. That
same week, because you could do all the work to set up the non-conference game, and then if another conference game comes open, the non-conference opponent goes to the wayside, and you'll play the conference game instead. So I think they're just trying to give teams options if it does. Like, you know, Colorado, had this rule been in place last week, Colorado would have had, you know, 4 or 5 days to try and line up an opponent. But they just put it in place now because they knew last weekend ASU wasn't going to be able to play. So, you know, they would have had a little bit of time. And so I think if say, tomorrow, somebody in the Pac-12 has a big outbreak and it's going to impact them not only this weekend but the following weekend, whoever that next opponent is could be, you know, could work on lining up a game.
Did you have boards made, like you're like make for making calls during the game in the last 2 weeks? And did you just end up burning them in effigy or something?
I do about 8 to 10 hours of game prep every week. And, that's 16 to 20 hours I will not be getting back. But I do know UCLA and Arizona.
Very well.
Inside now. So, yeah, but I got my spot. The spotting boards were easy. I didn't have to change them for Utah. So that part of it's
That's good, yeah.
I just had to update the other team, so.
Well, we're excited for you guys. And I'm not trying to jinx you, because I want so bad for Scott to do something on the weekends. My heaven, we got to get this guy doing something on the weekends. He calls me up. He's like, game canceled. I'm leaving. I don't care. I'm leaving the state. I'm driving away. I'm going fishing somewhere. Don't call me. So I just want Scott to do something with his life on the weekends. That's really what I want to see this
game. That's really kind of you, Alex. Thank you so much.
So Bill Riley and Scott Mitchell are going to have the call. USC and Utah. See, I was trying not to bring up the BYU question because I don't even want to flirt with that idea because I don't think it's going to happen. But We'll see how that works out. Bill Riley, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break. We'll come back. I want to chop this up a little bit because with the possibility of those games being played in the Pac-12, how is that going to work? And BYU fans, do not get your hopes up. This is a very, very small chance of that happening, of BYU playing Utah. So we'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.